So, I kind of have to just jump in right off the cuff. I don't have time for a long introduction or I lose my train of thought because every once in a while something reminds me of something and I say, "Hey, Beefcake, you should go podcast right now." And then by the time I'm done introducing the podcast, "Hey, this is Beefcake back again. I've been gone for a while because I got talker's block because I can't think of anything to say because the mantra is hard to talk about forever because it's so basic and straight to the point that it always comes back to white genocide." That it can take a little while for me to spit all that out if I go at length about it before I start talking about what I want to talk about. So that's as close as I can give you to an introduction for this one, but let's jump right on in. Something that I noticed on a forum, because I do still post the mantra, even if you're not hearing from me, I still post the mantra. Beefcake is still alive and well, and he's still kicking anti-whites in the nuts every time he gets a chance. And while I was recently doing that, somebody did something, and I was trying to figure out a way to describe what was going on. It was in the middle of the conversation back and forth. I don't have it pulled up in front of me right now, but an anti-white said, because they kept trying to make the straw man argument that, well, immigration, having some neighbors, having some brown, black, or yellow neighbors, isn't going to wipe out any white people. And they're, of course, they're trying to ignore the essential detail. They're ignoring the essential detail of mass immigration to all white countries and forced integration in all white countries is assimilation. That'll lead to enough interbreeding to destroy our people. Combine that with the vilification of our people. Combine that with the demonization, combine that with teaching white children in schools to feel ashamed of being white and dehumanize them further by telling them their race doesn't even exist, right after vilifying them for it. Combined with movies, TV shows, and other forms of media glorifying interracial relationships, and of course, further vilifying anybody who has any sort of problem with it or who disagrees with it. That all combined leads to a future without white people. And so, of course, they want to try and pick apart something out of that and talk about anything but. They want to pick a little piece of that or call you names. You must not have any friends. You're an asshole. You're this, that, blah, 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 blah. You're an evil racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews and clone Hitler. All that kind of crap they want to talk about. But the other thing they do is they like to take a piece out of what you said and leave out all of the other details and just say having some of these neighbors isn't going to genocide anybody, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about mass immigration, forced assimilation. That is the problem. That's what leads to white people not having a future. If just a few move into an area, they'll be absolved by the gene pool very quickly. That's going to happen because you only pass on half of your genes every time you reproduce. Pretty soon, just a very tiny amount could be blended out. But the mass immigration and assimilation, that will do you in. If you're the original group in the area that was previously the majority of the population, once you become a shrinking percentage and you become a minority, if you're still being assimilated, you're going bye-bye. That is erasing your people from existence, what we call genocide. So then this is what got interesting that I noticed what the anti-white did, and I'm sure we've seen this before, and now I have an analogy for it, a way of simply breaking this down, and it's part of what we're trying to get them to do in front of that audience. The anti-white actually blurted out, "Immigration has never genocided anybody." I'm going to say that again, try not to laugh, try not to, please don't laugh. Immigration has never genocided anybody. They actually made that statement. And they'll make other statements too that everybody in the audience that is reading this knows is absolutely absurd. Like this, there's no violence in this. Genocide has to be violent. Okay, and then we say genocide does not necessarily need to be violent. All it has to do is erase an entire group of people, and it is going to be the same outcome, the group of people is gone. They are physically destroyed in whole or in part, reducing them to a minority still counts as genocide. The actions of attempting to do that counts as genocide. The end state where they are now a minority isn't genocide. It's the process of doing it. That is the process. It's the ongoing process we're facing is genocide. And that means reducing us, the process of reducing us would fall under that. But nonetheless, they will open themselves up to criticism, however, from everyone in the audience when they start saying things like it has to be violent and no violence is occurring. Where are white people being killed? Nobody's forcing anybody to reproduce with anyone. And of course, if you're very disciplined with the mantra, you're going to keep it on the assimilation thing because the audience reading it sees how stupid that is. If you're somebody in Norway and you know about the rape epidemic that's been going on in Norway as a result of non-whites being flooded into the country, and somebody says nobody's forcing anyone to reproduce with them, well, just like the immigration has never genocided anybody statement, that one was worth it. When an anti-white says something like that, it makes me feel like podcasting again. Because that is fantastic when they're saying stuff like this. And now here comes that analogy. Here is what we are actually seeing them do. The mantra makes a huge hole in their wall. It's the most vulnerable spot. It is the weak link in the armor that anti-whites have built with all of their words that they use to try and silence any discussion from taking place on race. What happens is they have that weak spot because this mass immigration and forced integration scheme, this genocide by assimilation scheme, is where they are most vulnerable. And you poke a hole there, and what they have to do is they have to fill that hole by making two more. They have to make new holes when they try fill, and they can't fill that hole. It is a sucking chest wound. When you poke that hole in their armor with white genocide, where they are most vulnerable, anti-whites try covering it, but whenever they do that, they make holes all over the place. When they say no violence is happening against whites, and most white people these days, I will say I believe most, and if it's not most, it's a very sizable chunk of our population, are well aware of the amount of violence being committed against white people. They're well aware of it. They move their families to other places to live because they are afraid of the violence that would take place to their children in schools where white kids are the minority. And anybody who grew up as a white kid in a school where white kids were the minority knows exactly what I'm talking about. Anyone that's ever lived in an area where whites are the minority, but if we're talking a place that's in a white country where most whites have been chased out of the area, that phenomena is called white flight. Okay? That's another hole I've seen anti-whites open themselves up to when they say, well, clearly I don't think anyone agrees with you, and white people other than you clearly want this. And then I point out, whites have never been given a vote on this before. We were never allowed to vote on it. And there is a phenomena where white people start moving away from these mass immigrated places. It's called white flight. That's where anti-whites like you have to chase all of them down and force multiculturalism on them. They aren't allowed to set up any exclusive communities anywhere on the planet. But nobody is doing that to blacks in black countries or Asians in Asian countries. It always has to be whites that need to be chased down. And why do they need to be chased down to have diversity shoved down their throat when they try getting out of the areas as called white flight by the same anti-whites who claim race doesn't exist? Huh? The reason they're leaving is because they don't want it. Well, the thing is, most white people reading these statements see that. So as soon as the anti-white tries filling the white genocide hole, they're leaving more holes all over the place where they look like an idiot. You can point it out in front of an audience. When I responded to the person who said genocide is never, or immigration has never genocided anybody, I just put it in bold and increased the size of the font. Just made it bigger and responded to them that this is mass immigration and forced integration. I went into all that. The reason I didn't even have to point out what they just said, other than just to highlight it in bold and increase its size so everyone can read what they just said. And again, I don't need to convince the entire audience. If I only capture 10% of the people reading something, that is making ground. Right now, if somebody is anti-white, they're not necessarily going to have their eyes open. People sitting on the fence might have their eyes open, but nobody other than young children in schools getting programmed right now, other than those, when it comes to adult white people, None of them are going to become anti-white after reading Mantra Logic and the Mantra. None of them will. They're either anti-white, white and normal, sometimes called pro-white, you know, saying something on behalf or defense of white people, or they're sitting on the fence. But those sitting on the fence are not going to get pushed in the anti-white direction. Now, they might claim they have. No, they were always anti-white. That's a bunch of BS. And what we're also doing is we're polarizing the positions. You have a lot of whites that seem like they're sitting on the fence. They're not. They're just waiting for a way to defend themselves. They're looking for that moral high ground that you're exposing that they've always had and giving them the means to speak up about it without just sounding like somebody who hates black people. You know, you're giving them a means to defend themselves, you know, but in the anti-white worldview, any defense of white people is hate speech. That's because they hate white people. Really simple. And the more you take a look at it, you have that approach where you've internalized what's going on. And this isn't about hating anyone else. It's about love of your own people who are currently facing a worldwide genocide. And it all becomes very clear. And so when those whites sitting on the fence see you coming from that angle, you're not there complaining about the people that our people are forced to live with. You're complaining about the anti-whites that are advocating that forcing. That's where the force comes, you know, in handy. No one's forcing anyone to reproduce. No, but they're forced to accept them in every aspect of their lives. They're not allowed to have anything exclusive anywhere. You know, you are forced to share your cities, you're forced to share your countries, you're forced to share your schools and your businesses. You're forced into every other part of it. You're forced to accept the fact that there will be special rights and privileges given to non-whites. You're forced to constantly listen to the vilification and degradation and dehumanization of your own people. That's all forced. Any disagreement cannot be allowed, but there's no force involved. You respond like that, and they'll say, well, nobody's doing it at gunpoint. And now some white people remember men with guns were needed originally in the integration process. Yes, this happens. You do have people, armed men with guns, that have been used in some instances. And so when the anti-white comes and they have to fill that hole that you just made, they open themselves up again. They're making more holes to attempt filling in the hole that you just poked, and they can't actually fill it in. So they're just making more holes. Saying that immigration has never genocided anybody, to anyone that knows anything about world history knows that that is asinine. That is absolutely silly. That's one of the silliest things they've ever heard. In fact, most people that know anything about history know how much white people are blamed for genociding other groups by immigrating to where they were living. All right, fine. Some white people immigrated to places and that led to genocide. But again, it does not justify genocide against white people right now. It does not. Okay, that is the anti-white looking at your children and saying they need to pay for this thing that happened hundreds of years ago. That is morally wrong. Those people that did that way back then, they're long dead. We're not going to punish their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And anybody who has that mindset is a genocidal sociopath. They're sick. There's something seriously wrong with them, and the only thing white about them, other than that they usually look white, is that they're filled with white-hot hatred for white people. But nonetheless, you go in and defend white people with the mantra. You're poking a big hole in their armor. They have a sucking chest wound, and when they try filling it in, many of times they will stick their foot in their mouth in front of the audience, and they will contradict themselves too. They will scoop out one hole to fill in another one they made. You know, you'll have an anti-white who will try saying that, you know, when they first tried saying that race doesn't exist, and you say you wouldn't say that to a black man or an Asian man. I've seen this in a forum too, multiple times. Well, they'll say, well, black people are a unique race. Asian people are a unique race. Arabs are a unique race. All the other races are unique, but not whites. Whites are essentially mixed mutts. They're not really a real race. And you can point out at that point how they, whites are constantly vilified for everything. Now we're being dehumanized and told our people don't exist. You can't tell a group of people they don't exist and that non-whites get to have all these special privileges and they get promotion and hiring preference and all these things due to not being white in white countries. Whites are vilified for having the privilege of being in the important positions in white countries. Ironically enough, a lot of those ones are the anti-whites we're now dealing with. But we're vilified on the basis of being white constantly, but as soon as you say something to white people's defense, we suddenly don't exist. Okay? And then, of course, you can't nail them down just as easily like that. It's like trying to nail down silly putty to the wall. They just keep moving all over the place. And later on, as they dug more holes and you point out how anti-white they are over and over again, how they support conditions that would lead to a world without white people, that would erase white people. That is what they're always arguing for. You point it out, and eventually in the conversation, this same guy jumps up. I might have been a girl, but the same person, I use the term in the loosest possible sense, because if you hate my people, it's really hard to see you as a person. It really is. If you don't see my people as people, well, the same individual decides to say that we all need to interbreed with non-whites because our gene pool is too closely knit and we're all inbred, as they phrased it. Now, you can point out the contradiction. On one hand, we are so genetically diverse, we don't actually count as a unique group. And the other and what contradicts that is saying we're all so closely genetically related that we're inbred. Well, which way is it? Are we a unique group of people? Either you need to be outbred because you're inbred, or you don't even count as a group worthy of preservation because you're too diverse. Both of those things contradict each other, but what is consistent is they are both advocating for conditions that lead to a world without any white people. They are advocating an ongoing situation that would erase white people from history, erase a unique group of people from our world, and they do it under the guise of being anti-hate. The reality is they hate one group of people, and that's my people, white people, and they support our genocide. And you just keep pointing that out, and eventually they start saying ridiculous things. And of course, to the audience seeing that, and many of them, they're watching you do this. They're watching you parry with something that they've been afraid to confront before, but they're learning. You're showing them how to defend themselves. And this thing is growing. It's getting very big. But when they see those contradictions, those really bold contradictions, they're both used for arguments that would lead to a world without white people. We are too genetically mixed up, or we're inbred. You can't have it both ways. It's one way or the other. I don't care if we're a genetically diverse group of people. Anti-whites know exactly who white people are to blame us for all of history. Well, it's that group that's blamed for all of history by anti-whites as white people that I'm defending right now. And so, very simple. You poke holes in their armor by pointing out truths that they cannot cover up once you point it out. The most vulnerable one is white genocide. You say whatever you want about it. Even if you disagree with it and you hate beefcake right now, thank you for calling it white genocide. Even if you're going to say there's no such thing as white genocide, hey, at least you're talking about white genocide. And you know what? That's what we ultimately want. What do we want? We want to have open discussion on white genocide. Whether you disagree or agree with it, we would simply like to be able to say our piece without having people try silencing us because they're so sure in their righteousness as a person that if someone else says something they disagree with, they need to be silenced and we need censorship. We want to have a conversation about white genocide. We want to be able to talk about it openly without fear of losing our job, without people accusing us of hating other people. That's what we want. We want open discussion on white genocide, and then it's up to the anti-whites if they want to keep trying to fill that hole by making new holes that they can't cover up either. So anyway, I just wanted you all to know that the most recent news back from the battlefront is that anti-whites now are claiming that immigration has never genocided anybody, and that is the take-home message for the night. Oh, that, and they like to fill that big white genocide hole by poking new holes. All right, I've repeated myself enough here tonight. Repetition is what we do. And to everybody out there who's been spreading the mantra on our message of white genocide, thank you very much. Okay, can't think of anything else to say, fellas. I will talk to you later.